Hey guys, hope you're having a great day wherever you are and whatever neck of the woods you're in. I am actually in Butler County, Pennsylvania, just north of Pittsburgh today. And this is the county I grew up in. So lots of memories when I come back here. I've been in 3 days of board meetings with John Nuzzo's church, Victory Family Church, also Chris Marshall's church, New Life Church, which actually started in the high school that I went to. And they're doing really good now. But I enjoy these days. I have three sisters who still live in Butler County. So, man, it's hard because this is Thanksgiving weekend, right? We're getting ready for our Stories of Thanks service. And then Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I always start behind the eight ball. I gain a couple of pounds before I get started in the holidays. So we're having a good time, and I'll wear black this weekend, I guess. We'll figure something out. But, you know, one of the things that you always think about when you come back to the place of your beginnings are your beginnings. And just you think about how good God's been to you. And one of the keys to that is what we're going to talk about today. And that is learning to handle transition really effectively. Somebody said the only thing constant in life is change. So get used to it. If you're waiting for a season where things are going to be awesome, probably not going to happen. And I know it was a great blessing to me to be raised by coaches and athletes in my family. And there was a saying in our home that if a bad culture, it can stay 6 days. It can stay for 6 weeks. You probably won't have a job if it stays 6 months or 6 years. So the job of a leader is to set a culture, a winning culture that people can follow. And that's true in our families, right? That's true in our churches. And I remember when I became the pastor of Faith Family Church 32 years ago, that the church had about 80 families. It had been through a number of splits in the course of a decade. They were seeing maybe 20 people saved a year. They had been like that for about 10 years. And one of the things I said to the people was I said, you know, because I took the church kind of quick. I said, let's just do this. Don't even tell me anything. Let's just have some fun. And let me just come in and try to build the church that God's put in my heart and see if you connect with this. And I actually took a season of time. I don't think I did the transition as well as the guy we're going to talk with today, Jason Swan. He's done an amazing job. And I'm going to let him talk to you about that in just a minute. But at least I knew this. I knew that grumpy leaders make for poor congregations and unclear leaders make for confused congregations. But if we really want to see God move things forward, it really does start in our own heart. Philippians 2, God says that he wants to work within us to will him to work for his good pleasure. And then he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that tells me? I've got to work hard to build a church, but I can't build it my own. Man, I need God to do some stuff inside of me that causes this church to grow. So we're going to talk about that today. I'll never forget when our transition started. I came home one Sunday and it just wasn't the best Sunday. And back then, you know, I read the comic section. So my wife would take the rest of the paper. I'd take the comics. And the comic in the paper was this. It was a preacher who was real happy at church and real grumpy at home. And his wife said to him, can we try it the other way next Sunday? How about you being grumpy in the pulpit and then be happy at home? And, you know, the reality is who we are determines how things turn out. And I'm just talking about the spirit of it. Jason's going to give you a lot of structure today. So I'm looking forward to that. Jason, welcome, man. We're glad you're with us.
Man, I'm so happy to be here, Pastor Jim. Thanks for thinking of me and let me take part in this. I know so many leaders are going to be on this call. And so it's just an honor to be here with everybody.
Yeah. Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, I'm a PK. Many of you may know my father, David Swan. And so I was raised around the church, in the church. I laugh and I tell everybody, you know, I was raised on the front row of the church and in the backseat of the car. I got to see church from those two angles. You know, my dad was a founding pastor, church planter, founded the church in Clovis in 1980. And so I just always... I grew up, I was born in 1985. So only thing I've ever known was my father and my mother as planters, as church leaders. And, they did such an effective job of raising us to have a critical mind and a leader's mind, to see things not as they are, but as they could be. And so got into full-time ministry at 18. And that, it's so funny, you know, we laugh about what you said is so true. Transition is a part of life, and it follows you everywhere you go. And so we, you know, I've transitioned from being a children's pastor to a youth pastor, youth to young adults to adults, adults to being an executive pastor to being senior pastor in waiting. And then now, we've taken over a church in Garden City, Kansas called Cornerstone Church. And we are now, my wife and I, Jenny, are the senior pastors at Cornerstone Church in Garden City, Kansas. So that's the 30-second version of where we are today. But I know there's so many other things. And so I'm wide open, Pastor Jim. You know, I'm an open book. I'm transparent as they come. So as much as you want to talk about or any questions you have for me about kind of how we got here, I'm wide open to talk about those things. Or if we want to just talk about the transition that's taken place in our time of taking over now and being the lead pastors here for 6 months, I'm wide open. You take us where you want us to go.
Yeah, I think you had a little bit of an experience like I did. You're older than I was. I was 29 whenever I started. You're definitely wiser than I was. I mean, I saw what you did as an executive pastor beside your father and honestly marveled at the work that you did. And I can't wait to get into the guts of it today because you have four really powerful things. And I know that there are guys listening today that want to transition. There's a transition in some area. And we're going to be talking church and we're all in transition in church. But some guys may have it with their own kids. You may have it even in your marriage right now. And here's a statement I love to say whenever somebody's in one of those periods. I say, God says he'll take us from glory to glory. You just have to refuse to accept the glory if you're going to get from glory to glory. And so I hate to say this, but more people get caught up in the glory. And you ask them what's going on, and you hear about all the gory details of what's going on instead of letting the glory begin to take people from one step to the next. And Jason, honestly, that's what I've admired about you in this transition. I'm just going to tell them up front, you might not say this, but the church has doubled in how many days?
Well, we went from 480 to 966 in 12 weeks.
So we're going to talk about what led to that kind of trend. We're in COVID. Did anybody tell you we're in COVID right now?
Yeah. Well, and our city's been ravaged by it. So, you know, I mean, it's not like our city is post-COVID by any means, where our hospitals have just been hit so hard by it. But again, you know, you can choose the glory or you can choose the gory, and we've made the decision to choose the glory. So that's such a great analogy.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to getting into this. Let me welcome some of our new members real quick, Jason, then we're going to jump right into it. I always love welcoming the new members who become a part of Faith Family, not Faith Family, Significant Church Network. But let me just say this, that our heart is for you to find what you need to reach your God-given dream through who you absolutely love hanging out with. Hopefully this webinar is a part of that. You just love getting on here. We tell you to treat it like a lunch break. Gather your staff if you think the subject's going to help everybody. And we're just going to talk real and raw like friends for a little bit. And I tell people, I want you to come to lunch with us. There are a lot of people I'd love for people to have the chance to listen to. And man, if I was anywhere near Jason right now, I'd be calling him for lunch, wanting to listen to his story. So let me welcome these guys. If we can put up their names again, I'm going to read them real quick. We have Jerome Davis from Kingdom Crusade for Christ Ministries in Garner, North Carolina. We got Mark Dunning from Hillside in Blanchard, Oklahoma. We got Gabriel Garber from New Life Assembly of God, White Cloud, Michigan. We have David Hickerson from Family Worship Center in Wallingford, Kentucky. We have Chris Johnson from Abide, Oklahoma City, in Oklahoma City, obviously Oklahoma. We have Rick Lemire from Core Church of God in Belmont, North Carolina. We've got Matt Lemon from Matt Lemon Ministries in Greensburg, Indiana. Then we've got a guy from Malawi, Thomas Justin Malpira. If I messed up that name, forgive me. From the Bride of Christ Pentecostal Church, we got Darian Parker, Spirit of Life Church, Clinton, North Carolina. Shane Rodenhall. I didn't even know he had the same name as we do, Faith Family Church. We love you, Shane. Love what you do in Wilmington, Ohio. Randy Richardson from Bible Heritage in Waycross, Georgia. Joel Rivera from Souls Harbor in Auburn, Indiana. Jonathan Vorse from Lakewood Family Church in Hudson, Florida, and Billy Wyatt from Full Gospel Powerhouse in Ballinger, Texas. So glad that all you guys are hanging out with us some, and we look forward to what God does in your church. So Jason, when I took over Faith Family Church, I was preparing a whole new year Bible school. I was serving as an associate pastor to my father-in-law, John Osteen. And in a month, I was a pastor of another church. It was pretty quick like that for you too.
Yeah, well, when we knew we were being called away from Clovis, we took a 6-month sabbatical and traveled. We were with over 20 churches. You know, that's the thing about being a pastor's kid and then being in ministry for, at that point in time, 16 and a half, 17 years, that you develop so many great relationships and friendships, people that are mentors, people that are friends. And so we sold everything. We sold our home. We sold vehicles. We sold stuff. I mean, we literally condensed everything into a trailer and a 10x10 storage unit. Everything else was sold. And we traveled the country for 6 months, visited over 20 churches of friends and mentors and people that we look up to, and got to sit in staff meetings and board meetings and all of those kinds of things. It was such a great experience for us. And man, if you're in a season of transition, you know, one of the greatest pieces of advice that I got in that season was buy time. And so I would tell everybody, if you're in a season of transition, you may not be able to buy 6 months, but you can buy 6 days. You may be able to buy 6 weeks. But buy time, buy as much time as you can, for one, for God to speak to you very clearly, but two, so that you can get a lay of the land. I mean, we didn't know where God was calling us to. We had megas reaching out to us. I mean, churches in, you know, Indianapolis that was over 11,000 people, a church in North Carolina that was over 4,000 people. And God said no for all kinds of different reasons to each one of those. But it gave us, you know, sometimes it's just a process of elimination to find out what you want. And then he called us very specifically through three different people to Southwest Kansas. And we didn't have a church. We didn't know if we were planting, if we were taking over. Honestly, we didn't know what that meant, but we knew very clearly that he was calling us to Southwest Kansas. So we moved here. Site, you know, no church, no mission, just a word from heaven. And then when we got here, felt like we were either going to plant or take over. The Cornerstone reached out. They heard out about us, and they were running a little bit less than 500 at the time. And the rest is kind of history. We took over the church, the first Sunday of June. And so we grew in the 12 weeks from June, July to the middle of August, before school started. So during the summer, during COVID, we doubled and hit almost 1,000. We've now been pretty consistently over 1,000 in the last few weeks. But it's just been amazing how God has moved when we've trusted Him with our yes and with our no. Because it was not easy to say, right, a church of 11,000, it'd be very easy to look at that and be like, well, that's clearly God. You know, God clearly is calling me to that place, but we, you know, our no protected our yes, and our yes became amen. So it's pretty cool to see.
Well, you thought you were going to plant. I mean, you were really planning on planting whenever you and I talked during that time. And then as you were just obeyed God, this came open and you knew it was the right place. And it, you know, really, it really has been amazing. So we're going to talk over your 100 days. That's what we want to talk about. We want guys to think through it. And I know I've looked on our chat room and I've already seen guys taking over the church from their father-in-law in a transition in their church. So I'm really looking forward to the things we're going to talk about today. Talk to them. We're going to do it from the perspective of 100 days. And you're going to talk about four things that you did or that you're in the midst of doing these 100 days. So go ahead and start at the top for us.
Well, this will be very, very practical and while simultaneously very personal. And so I want to give some big ideas. I'll give you very specific what we did, but I want to give big ideas because I know that each situation is so unique, right? If I'm taking over a church that I'm at right now, for a family member, for a spiritual father, somebody like that, this may look quite a bit different as far as the bullet points of the practical personal level. But the big idea of this holds true whether you're walking into a building you've never stepped foot in, or if you're walking into a building that's been your house, your church, that you've been at, served at for years. These are just the way that you're going to have to do these things. The timing of it may look different, and the details may look different, but I think the mission for me, I am Enneagram 8 with a 7 wing. I'm an ID on the disc, so I don't know which kind of personality profiles anybody has done, but so I'm not naturally a detail-oriented person, but when I'm under stress, when I'm under pressure, I become very detail-oriented. And so I'm I'm a goal setter, goal completer. I like finishing tasks. So I've kind of compiled that for my own personality. So take it for what it is. But I would encourage you, one of the things that I think we did so effective is when we were hired as the senior pastors, we did not preach. I did not preach a message for the first 3 weeks of being the senior pastor at the church. You know, 20 years ago, that probably would look very different. But today, in fact, the church never heard me preach. Before they hired me. And they did that because YouTube or, you know, whatever streaming platform or things that you utilize, there's probably plenty of messages of you preaching online right now. And so I'll walk through some of that and how we did that. But the first 10 days, so if we could just take, okay, I'm hired, the elders or the directors or the board or whatever the church calls them, has said yes, and we've said yes. What am I going to do in the first 10 days? I would tell you this. The thing that we did very effectively in that season is the first thing we did is connected with the staff. Those are the people that are going to either make it go or they have the ability also to destroy it. We had a situation where one of the guys on the staff was actually the second or like the runner up, if you would call that, in the process of hiring. And he could have destroyed the whole thing. It could have all gone off the rails if he wasn't on board. And thank God he was on board. And so we had a couple goals. And I would tell you, create some goals for yourself for these moments. I'll tell you, my goals were this. The first one was to gain influence. A lot of these people had never met us. They didn't know us from Adam. They hadn't seen me preach. They hadn't gotten online. They didn't know anything. So number one was to gain influence with them. The second was institutional knowledge. You know, depending on the region of the world you're in and how comfortable and familiar you are with the church, that may be mission critical. But you may have been at the church you're taking over for 15 years. You don't need institutional knowledge. You have it. You may be the keeper of the institutional knowledge. But for us, we were coming in totally blind. We had no clue about what had happened years before that, 5 years before that. And so you got to gain institutional knowledge. And then the third thing is trust. My goodness, there may not be any more important thing that you can do, but to help those people trust you, to be authentic, to be vulnerable, to be transparent, and give them a really clear picture for who you are. And then I would say this is no matter what, no matter where you are in this process, you got to earn respect and begin to establish culture. You know, strategy is good, but culture beats strategy every time. So you've got to begin to establish that culture and earn the respect of what is now your team.
Yeah. You know, Jason, what I like about it. Yeah, I didn't come in with as much time as you did. Like, I didn't get to travel in a van. I basically had a guy who was tired, and he asked if I'd preach for him. And I preached 2 Sundays while he prayed about his life. Then he came back and handed me the key and said, "Will you take the church?" So it was a quick transition. So for me, I stood up in front of the people, and really, you're going to talk about this one later, but I just preached my best messages that I had. And then they had a Sunday morning back in the day and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. And I changed Sunday night to classes and told people I was just kind of, you know, we're going to have 3-4 classes and I was going to go to a different one each night, get to know everybody. And I told them, just be praying because the Holy Spirit builds churches. I'll preach, we'll care for you, but the Holy Spirit builds churches. And so I took from September, really almost through most of that year, celebrated Christmas. And then in January, I came out with, hey, here's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And together, and this is your part in it, together, we went from being a church of seeing 23 salvations to 365 the very first year, 1,000 the second year. And then it's been, you know, 1,000 plus for every year now. But it was really, I love what you say about getting to know the people, because for me, it was just kind of cast in my lap, and I didn't have the chance to even form my strategy like you did. So I needed some time, but I got to know the people. And it really is true that the people around Moses had a lot to do with whether he got into the promised land or not. Right. I mean, he did too, yeah. but you can't do it on your own. So getting to know people and starting to work on the relationships that can bring to pass is just vital. I talked to a pastor, one of the most successful pastors in Pittsburgh today. And when he got started, he had 10 families come to him and ask him to be the pastor back in the day. This was before John Nugent and I got started. He was older than both of us. And he got some wise counsel for somebody. He said, ask these families if they'll tithe to you so that you and your wife have a salary. And then if they'll just do life with you. And they did for 35 years as the pastor. And the church grew into thousands, but at the core of it was 10 people who were in this thing together. And then it began to build a spirit within the church that we're in this together. And honestly, if you ever lose that, you're going to lose the church. It's just the nature of the beast. And most of us find ourselves where if church is like a tree, every once in a while you get a bad branch, you got to do something about it. You try to get it well, but if you can't let it affect the whole tree. And so relationships are so critical. And then what's the second thing you did?
Yeah, I would say even inside of the connecting with staff, I think when I say that, you've got to do some large group storytelling, vision casting, and Q&A. You've got to get the whole team. You know, I was coming from a staff of over 30. This staff here was 9. And so large group, meaning there was 9 people in the room. So you may have a bigger team than that you're taking over, a smaller team than that taking over, but it's just an opportunity for them to hear it from the horse's mouth. Large group, vision casting, storytelling, Q&A. Then we ended up doing dinner at our house with each couple individually. We got their Enneagram, their love languages, strength finders, so that we understood who they were. And then we started reading. For me, my favorite book that I've read as a leader is Power Positive Leadership by John Gordon. And so as a staff, we began reading that book. So it just enabled them to help them to understand who we were, what kind of influences we've had. And then the next thing we did, which was really day 7 through, I mean, I say 7 through 14, but really it's 7 through the rest of your ministry. But 7 through 14, we were incredibly strategic about connecting with our leadership. So leadership means for us at this church, a church of 500, just a little less than 500, it was the all of our dream team coaches, anybody that was an elder, either current or former elder at the church, and then anybody that was in our top 50 giving units. So if they were in our top 50 giving units, they were a dream team coach, or they were an elder, either current or former, we pulled them into a large town hall type setting where I basically did the exact same thing I did with my staff, large group, vision casting, storytelling, Q&A. We did the same thing again with those leaders. And that was like on a Monday night. And then on a Wednesday night, 2 days later, we published a video on social media announcing me and Jenny as the new senior pastors of the church, inviting them all community-wide to come to another town hall meeting where we did same thing, same vision casting, same storytelling, and then opened it up for Q&A. And it, again, here was my goals for this, is to build relational equity and to lay foundations of trust. You know, that those are two mission critical things, not just for your church, But I mean, for us, the vision for our church is to be a community church. And so it's doing those things inside of your community as well. So we had a couple different pastors from around the community that showed up to that just to say hello and to hear kind of who we were and where we were going. And so it's been a powerful thing. And then from there, I know it's day 7 through 14, but really, like I said, it's day 7 through Jesus coming back. We started setting up two nights a week where we were having people come in. For the first 6 months, we were having at least two couples come. The mission was three couples that we would bring into our home, feed dinner, hear their stories, because they were hearing from me preaching and talking. So it was an opportunity for us to gain institutional knowledge and gain knowledge of our people that we were now called to pastor. And I would tell you that was one of the best decisions that we have made in this whole process, was dedicating two nights a week to being with them. We can't do that forever, and we've already scaled it back to one night a week that we do that. But for the first 6 months, you know, it's all go. You're all in. And what a great thing that we did, because it enabled us to really connect with over 200 leaders in our church. In the first 6 months, they got to see our style, right? Our house, what our house and our home feels like. They got to see the way we interact with our kids, not in a church setting, but in a home setting. They got to feel us in a comfortable way. So it was really one of the great decisions we made inside of this. And I wish I would have made all the, I could say like, oh, my wisdom was this, but here's the facts. I've stolen all of these ideas from other leaders that I call pastor, people like Pastor Jim, Pastor Steve Smotherman in Albuquerque, Pastor Gerald Brooks in Dallas, multiple guys like that who advised us all of these different steps along the way. And so I'm glad that I get to just in a moment do a brain dump from all of these great leaders onto some guys and some gals who may need some advice on transition.
Yeah, there's a pastor in New York that's written a book on being emotionally healthy, that if you're not emotionally healthy, and when you go through ministry, I mean, to me, being in ministry is a little bit like playing football. You know, you're going to have seasons you take a hit, and you got to work to stay healthy. And so there's a book by a guy in New York that I can't think of right away, but if you need to know, you can email us. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, what is Pete Scazzaro. Emotionally healthy leader. Yeah,
the emotional healthy leader. And some guys, that would be a great starting point for them, because honestly, you got to get in touch with yourself. Some of us were exasperated as kids. And in the coaching world, if you show me somebody who's exasperated, then they'll carry that on to their team, and they won't do enough film watching. They won't do enough coaching and training. A spirit of exasperation is okay to them, and they bring it into the team, and they're trying to get people to do what they can't, as opposed to gaining all the maturity you need to lead a really healthy culture. Or then some people, I know a guy who has a great church today, and he worked for me, and he said, man, I looked at you and I just realized if I live the pace that I've lived my life up to this point, I'm never going to have what God's done through Jim Graff. So he said the whole pace of my life changed by watching the pace you lived with on a daily and a weekly basis. So there are things that for some of us, God may be dealing with us today, that it has to start with us. But then in Ephesians 4, Paul says, what do we try to keep? The unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. And I can tell you that I have learned undoubtedly that I have to do what Paul told Timothy. I have to give myself wholly to things. I have to work hard at preaching and teaching to save other lives and save my own life. But the bottom line is, I don't build the church. The Holy Spirit does. And walking in unity with him is huge. But what Jason is talking about, which is so good, is then it's not just the unity of the Spirit, but it's the bond of peace. You can hear from God, but if you can't get people on board with it, then it doesn't really matter how much you've heard from God. And the Bible says, make every effort to do both of those, man. It's effort to get up and pray. It's effort to set aside the time in your heart to make for God so that you're walking with him, man. And nothing phases you when you're walking close to him like it does if you ever quit doing that. But then the bond of peace is the same way. It's work. And unfortunately, I've seen a lot of guys my age that will, they kind of know the unity of the Spirit. Then they start getting controlling. And there's something in the Bible called believers meetings. And I love doing those with a group of people where I'll start and I'll say, hey, let me tell you something I feel God's saying to me. And let me tell you some things I think I see. And then I just want to go around the circle and I want you to tell me some things God's saying to you, or you think God's saying to you, and some things you think that you see about what we're trying to do right now. And without fail, those meetings end with all of us having a greater respect for the power of the Holy Spirit and a greater appreciation for the giftedness and the temperaments and all the different things that people bring to the team. And I really agree with the Gallup Strength Finder that says there are no well-balanced leaders. There are only well-balanced teams. And that's what we're striving to do. So, Jason, I just applaud you. I mean, that step right there of working hard and letting the people know how much you needed them, I know that's played out huge in what's happened.
Yeah, well, it connected, I mean, from a practical, just, you know, because we all know there's practical sides to ministry. From a practical side, it enabled them to get connected to us quickly, which enabled them to stay connected to the church, which in a season of transition, you know, there's jump off points every 5 minutes of transition. There's exit ramps. You know, I mean, there's people that can leave in a moment and not leave upset, just leave because their time was up 6 months ago, 6 years ago, but they were still hustling so hard that a season of transition is a chance for them to get off the highway. And so it reinvigorated our people on such a level that they just began inviting everyone they came in contact with. And it's been a wild ride now. Because the people who were leaders in our community and that were also in our church became very vocal in our community of come and see. You've got to come and see what's happening at Cornerstone Church. And it also, you know, my last or third thing or whatever you want to call it would be for once you start preaching for those first 100 days, give yourself permission, especially, I mean, this is really only to the guy who has taken over a church that he wasn't at previously. Because if you're taking over a church you've preached your best stuff at already, don't regurgitate your content. But if you are taking over a new church, man, preach your best stuff. The stuff you know that is hit, the stuff you know that preaches, the stuff you know that regardless of you know, geographical location, it hits. Preach that stuff. And the reason for that is you want your community, your church, to feel your personality at your very best. And here's the most important reason why. You've got to give yourself a window to like adjust personally by not creating content from scratch. I know creating content can be such a drain on you, and there's enough, you're going to be moving homes. So you're going to be buying a new home, signing on all of those things, moving furniture, changing addresses, setting up heating and air and water bills for the first time. You're going to be meeting new people, getting your kids into new schools. There is just so much about this season that can be emotionally draining, spiritually draining, that you want to eliminate as many things as possible from draining that tank. And one of those things that can drain the tank is trying to create new content, especially because you want to give it your best. So you can end up, if you're not careful, spending 20 plus hours of a very, strenuous, stressful work week already developing content when you need to be developing relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. So you got to preach your guts out. And the thing that you need to do is find ways and find the messages that you've preached that connect vision for the church, direction for where we're going, as well as personality of who you are and the way that you like to preach and teach the gospel. So
The great thing is when you're new like that, nobody's heard your best stories. Nobody's heard the best revelations God's given you. So I think what I kind of hear you saying is lean back on that. Lean back on the fact that you're new. And of course, if you take over an existing church, you didn't get there without connecting. You know, you wouldn't be in that position. So you don't have the same challenge that you had to face as somebody who took over. But I'd agree with that. Lean back on things God told you. I mean, Jesus said himself that a good teacher takes out the old and the new. And I've learned over the years, there are times when God just puts new stuff in my spirit and people come to church. It's like, wow, I love how God speaks to pastor like that. And then there are seasons you wake up with none of that. You say, what do I do? And what you do is you take out the old. And the reason you don't feel it all the time is because God does want you to take out the old. And you may think you said that so much that the people haven't heard it. But trust me, when you tell a story and you wonder why they're laughing so hard, it's because they either haven't heard it or don't remember it, one of the two. Because you have to tell it a lot until people remember it. And your church always has new people coming in. So I love that thought of leaning back on the revelation God's given. Tell me what some of those, what were some of the series you did? What were some of the messages?
Well, for me, I'm an expository teacher. So I love just going back into the word. And so what I ended up doing is finding my 10 messages, or really more specifically 10 chapters of the Bible that I would call my top 10. It's like having kids. You're not supposed to have favorite chapters of the Bible, but I do. I have chapters that I love and chapters that I've done all my homework on and read all the commentaries and all the things from everybody and up and down. I could preach them without even studying. I could preach out of the word. And so we did that, and I connected our vision for the church with the chapters of the Bible that I knew inside and out. And it went over like gangbusters. I mean, people just kept coming. I think it's one of the things that people are so hungry for in this season of church is they don't, we have access to knowledge. This is the era of life where you're a Google search away from any topic. You can learn a lot. The problem is there's as much or more misinformation or untruth as there is about truth. And people are not always adept at sorting through which one is true and which one is false. The beauty of it is the Bible is true. It was true 2,000 years ago. It's true today that the truth of the word stands the test of time. And so because of that, we have access to a timeless truth. I believe that the Bible is authoritative. It's sufficient that if I read it and I'm not doing it, I need to change what I'm doing. And it's sufficient that we don't need any new books, new revelation. I don't need any other gospel. It is good as it is. I don't need to change anything. And that it was good for them. Oh, buddy. Well, sadly, we live in a world where people are trying to do that every single day. But I choose to read it and allow it to speak for itself. And so because we did that, like I said, people just every week we were growing by 40 and 50 people. We had over our first Next Step class that we did when we got here was the very first week we came. So my first Sunday, we had a Next Step class. And in that class, we had four people in the Next Step class. The next Next Step, the very next month when we did Next Steps, we had 120 people in our Next Step class that walked through and finished it. And so that just gives you a picture for the kind of roller coaster ride that we were on right at the very beginning. And we've settled in. And we're seeing some more predictable, steady growth today versus what we were seeing right there at the very beginning. But it's just kind of amazing what God has done inside of, what now we'll cross 6 months this week. We actually crossed over the 6 month period, this last week, actually. So yeah, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride to see what God has done. Are we still on?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know what happened to Pastor Jim, but I know he's out. So let me tell you guys a little bit more about my story so you can grab a hold of some of these things for your own self. So about 3 weeks before we were supposed to get – we were the senior pastors at the church in Clovis for 2 years behind closed doors. So I got to see – I was leading board meetings. My dad hadn't stepped foot into a staff meeting in like 8 years. And then 3 weeks before, he just said, "Hey, I'm not ready." And we said, "Well, we love you, but we are." And so I don't want you to think, "Oh, he comes by this easy," or, "Man, he comes by this simply." We've had to fight for our calling. We had to battle the 6 months where we were on a sabbatical, that's a really nice word for hell. We were in 6 months of hell, wondering and questioning, is God ever going to use us again? Does God want to see us in ministry ever again? Does God want us to lead a church ever again? And so we had to battle those questions, and it became more difficult every time God told us no, when there were opportunities that seemed so good on an earthly level. But he would tell us no very specifically. And it's really, really hard when you're in the middle of the wilderness to look at opportunities like that and say no, but God spoke so clearly to us over and over again. And so we had to
be hearing the no when you don't know what the yes is. I mean, that's tough. Yeah.
It was not a happy day. It was not. And so we had to battle for our calling. We had to battle for our calling. We had to battle believing that God was still going to partner with us in ministry, that he still had plans for us. And so what's wild is Cornerstone here in Garden, it was the smallest church that talked to us. And yet it was the one that God had for us. And I would have, if you would have asked me a year plus ago before we left Clovis, if that was the right place for us, I would have said yes. And it would have, I would have believed that. But today what I realize is it's the difference between buying a suit off the rack, right? You may know you're a 32 by 32 and a 40 jacket, right? So you buy that off the rack and you're like, this fits. Yeah, you think it fits until you go and you get a tailored suit. And then once you get that tailored suit, you realize, oh, this is what fit really feels like. And that was what was so powerful about this whole season for Jenny and I, is God was doing some things in us over here and creating a fitment for us. But he was also doing it here in Garden City at Cornerstone. He was preparing them for us and us for them. And when those two things came together, now, you know, we're on the move. And God has been so faithful to do, you know, what only God can do, because I think we, if you want to ask us the greatest thing that we do as a church right now, I would say we are, obviously excellence is a big deal to us. Excellence should be a big deal to everybody. But listen, if you are more concerned about guest services than you are about God's services, then I think that you are missing the point, because what we've discovered is if we gather for one reason, we gather for his attendance, for his glory, and for his praise. And if 17 people show up, but God was in the room, then that's winning for us. And because he's in the room, you know what? People show up because the seekers want to see God move. We have organized our whole church. Sorry, this is a whole nother topic, Pastor Jim. But we have organized our whole church, and I'm talking about Big C Church, around the seeker for so long that we've forgotten that they are seeking God, and we've eliminated God from our services. And so we made a decision inside the 6 month sabbatical that we took that we were going to have services that had one mission, and that was to praise the name of Jesus, that we gather for his attendance, for his glory, and for his praise. And when we've done that, people show up because they want to experience the presence of God. And when we walk into his courts with thanksgiving and praise, he shows up because he inhabits the praises of his people. So we are meeting by meeting Jesus.
Yeah, the worship in the word that ministers God's presence has never been defeated. It's never been defeated in the history of the world. So as a pastor, right, if you go in and say, we're going to worship and we're going to teach God's word in a way that God's in the building, That never has, never will be defeated. I mean, I couldn't agree with what you said more. And just to recap this, and maybe we will let you help some guys personally here, Jason, but I love what you said. Basically, you talked about the 100 days, and you said, make sure you connect with the staff, which are like the key leaders, and then make sure you connect with the leadership body as a whole. And some of us may have different terms. For us, the coach is the one that actually helps new people onboard a dream team, but you're using coach in the manner that is the person leading the dream team, I think, right? Your coach is the leader.
We've got We've now reorganized as well. So we've got directors because we're about to launch two campuses. God's crazy. We're launching a campus in a small town. A church gave us their building that was debt-free, had money in the bank. And so we're planting a church about an hour and a half south of us. And then we just had our first worship night to plant in a city called Dodge City, Kansas, which is about an hour away from us. And we had over 250 people at what is basically just an interest meeting. Where we had worship. And so God is, you know,
that's fantastic. That is fantastic. But when you're talking about connecting with staff, connecting with leaders at the next level, a lot of people just don't do that. It could be that they're introverted. It could be that wasn't their ministry model. But to think about how important that is, think about the Apostle Paul when he was going to go into Turkey. And the Holy Spirit stopped him and said, no, there's somebody over in Macedonia and he's on his knees and he's praying and he really wants to see God work. And that's why you connect to people. Without them, it's impossible. And so that, I think that was so wise. And then leaning back on your best content. I get that too. I mean, you're well aware that you're not just pulling an old sermon out of the can. You're well aware of the fact that God's speaking to you. But you are kind of leaning back and recognizing that God's kind of readied me for this time. And so I'm going to lean back in that kind of confidence instead of letting stress come into my heart that I've got to come up with this incredible stuff, you know, every single week right off the bat. So then there was one other thing. What was the fourth thing? And I just apologize. I don't know if you know this, but I cut out. So I missed like 3-4 minutes. I think you just carried it. Did you know I was gone?
No, I realized it pretty quickly when you were gone from my deal, so I just started talking.
Man, thank you.
The you know, for us, the fourth thing is finding those things that God has specifically called you to do and then running. So God had put on us a very clear vision of planting churches and planting campuses. And so for us, the mission was very clear in these communities around us that we would call food deserts. Where, you know, they don't have a grocery store. They may not even have like a Dollar General inside of their community. They only have a gas station, you know, that just has junk food. Those are the types of communities we want to target right out of the gate. Yeah. So communities of 1,000 to 3,000, that, you know, most of them do not have a spirit-filled, life-giving community inside of them. And so if they don't, then we believe that God is going to make a way where only he could make a way. He's going to open a door that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. And we're already seeing that. So that's piece one. And then piece two is planting campuses inside of what we call hub communities. So cities of 15 to 55,000 significant church communities, right? So this is not just a passion of mine from a standpoint of, hey, this is a great organization. This is a passion of mine because it's who I am. I believe that God wants to do significant things in small county America, and I want to be an active player in that. And God's given us vision and passion and drive to see it happen. So we started that September of 2022. We'll have our first services in Dodge City, Kansas on a Sunday morning. And then our mission is January of 2022. We'll have our first services in Plains, Kansas. And so we are making moves, and God has been showing up over and over again. It's hard to describe all the things that he's been up to in this season. But when you get a vision from heaven, you chase it and you give it everything that you've got. And when it's from God, you know, where he guides, he provides. So the provision has been coming in. Our giving has been off the charts, and he's just shown up on every level. And so really, it's been a really fun couple of months.
Yeah, we were on that webinar the other day about the last survey that came out and what's going on in America. And you were absolutely right. This is going to be the best decade ever for smaller towns because he's raising up a lot of people. And I can just feel his presence on people's lives that he's just ready to make a difference. The biggest challenge is going to be training personnel in the end. The fields are ripe unto harvest. It's that God's going to raise up people. And it's so exciting to hear that you're involved doing that, because I can tell you that initially, and you know my story, Jason, you know that Tamara and I, God blessed our church. I started at 29. we were really blessed. And at 33, I got offered a church in Arlington that had 2,000 plus in attendance, almost paid for. I thought it was heaven shining on me. It was really just God kind of set me up saying, hey, what matters to you? Because there was no way. I didn't even come close to having peace. I told the pastor when he offered it, I said, well, yeah, I'm going to come up on a Wednesday night thinking I was going to take it. I want to feel the people. Then I'll come in later and I'll preach. But I just want to feel your church first. And I knew him because he was a friend of my father-in-law. So I knew he had a real healthy, good church. But when I went, man, I could tell that God wasn't, he wasn't into that. And then later when I started driving through small county America, God said, this is the mission. I was a Mission Impossible guy. This is your mission should you choose to accept it. And but I remember there were times whenever initially I would feel like I would be working harder for less results than some of my friends would have. Just being real. You know, I'm working so hard, but I'm doing it for less results. If you see them in terms of people, offerings, et cetera, even though most people would die to have the church I was pastoring. Right. But
yes,
but I had to get past that. And I had to say, I find greater emotional pleasure in reaching places that wouldn't have these churches. If we weren't praying, we weren't getting there. So it's nobody else's fault. It was just within me an internal adjustment I had to make to find my pleasure in the same thing that God found pleasure in. Right now it's easy. Honestly, I would rather be in the world I'm in than any other world, the whole wide world. I'd rather be connected to the people I'm connected to than any people in the whole wide world. And that's a great place to be. So it's a blessing you and Jenny found that so quickly. And Jason, but let's just talk with this because we have about, you know, 5 minutes to go. It wasn't easy because you were processing a lot emotionally at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the hard part. Well, and I mean, not to go into too many gory details, but yeah, a lot happened in that season where we were away. I mean, one, my dad and I's relationship really fell apart. And then it fell apart again when he was get caught up in all kinds of sin stuff and end up being removed from the church. They asked us to come back. We came back and God again said no, very clearly to us. Again, felt like a two-ton gorilla. So we were processing family problems, ministry issues. We were processing a lifetime worth of issues in 6 months. And I think that's part of what we really found God so faithful inside of that is he softened our hearts. We were able to forgive and not get into bitterness and ugliness and allow that stuff to contaminate our souls. It would have been so easy to dip in and out of bitterness in that season. And I'm not saying we didn't have moments. We did. We absolutely did. I'm human. And so we had to struggle through some really rough thoughts and beliefs about ourselves and him and all the things. But God has been faithful. Not only has he, you know, restored our hearts and our ministry, but he's also restored my dad and I's relationship inside of this.
That's awesome. He's
come up here to Kansas on multiple occasions. And it's coming up again soon. And so, you know, we're going to get to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the things. So it's God's been faithful, not just in ministry, but in our life. But that book, Pete Scazzaro's book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, so incredibly good. You know, another one, if you're working through some real hurt right now, is Sam Chand has a book called Leadership Pain. You know, Joe Caminiti, has this excerpt inside of that book. And Joe's a big, you know, major role player inside of SIG Church. And they tell some of their story inside of it. It's an absolutely incredible book that will, in my opinion, should be like day one. I want to be a pastor. Oh, do you? Read this book and then come back and tell me. Because it's that kind of book. It should help us to really have our priorities right when we start talking about what it means to be in ministry.
Yeah. Well, people know how much I love your dad and I love your family and people respect your family like crazy, you know, and, you know, we're just going to see what God does in the future. He's a great God and he does amazing things.
Well, he can use anybody. He's not after perfection. He's after submission. Right. And so right. If we just submit ourselves to him, he can use a submitted heart He doesn't need talent or gifting. He doesn't even need a big crowd. He's done amazingly large things through amazingly small amounts of people. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And we just have to have a submitted heart for him and watch what he does when we do that.
Yeah. Well, I want to apologize, everybody. I don't know what's up with this Marriott that I'm at in Pittsburgh, but I'm having some internet issues that are kicking me in and out a little bit. But you mentioned Joe Caminiti, and man, families go through seasons. I mean, you think about some people in the Bible and the seasons that those people went through. And that's why it's so important that we stick in the bond of peace and friends love at all times. And, you know, Joe Caminiti, you mentioned him. I mean, he built this great church with a culture that he felt like God wanted to change. And when he changed it, it was extremely painful. But the things that you're talking about, because now he's sitting in the middle of his dreams. I mean, he was here in these board meetings with me. He's sitting in the middle of what God put in his heart. And he would never done it if he wasn't willing to embrace the pain, let the Holy Spirit lead the transition, keep the right people around him, keep yourself laughing in the middle of things. I mean, good friends are important during times like this, people you can text. And in 30 seconds, you know, you and your friend are just hitting it off, laughing about stuff or feeling deeply about stuff or speaking a word in season to one another, whatever's required. But Jason, I just want to tell you, you know, I mean, I told your church this whenever they called me, and I was one of the people they called to ask what I thought of you. And I told them, I said, well, I've watched you in the last 5 years as an executive pastor. And I said, I have sons in the faith here that one day I'll probably realize it's time for them to lead and me to do something else. I said, but if I didn't have a son in the faith, I said, I would hand my church to this guy in a second. And that really is how much I thought of you then. And it's been such a joy, man, just to see what God's doing in Kansas. I love Kansas. My brother coached at the University of Kansas for some time. So he was a Jayhawk, man. He was there in Lawrence.
The Longhorns. I mean, does it get any
sweeter
than that?
Can you believe that? Oh my goodness. Yeah. I was
it made OU losing to Baylor just that much better. You know, I was going to wear black to church on Sunday morning, but when Kansas beat Texas, I wore my normal clothes because it made everything better.
Well, I guarantee you there was some rejoicing in Kansas and there was corresponding grief in Texas. I can tell you that. That was
Pastor Jim, did we lose you?
Did you lose me again? Am I back? Okay. Jason, you there? Well, guys, I'm so sorry this happened, but I know that today's been a great blessing
everybody. I don't know if you guys can hear me or if you can hear Pastor Jim. Yeah, but hey, yeah. If you're working through some things when it comes to this stuff, I would love to walk through, whether it's pain or a transition, either one. I'd love to walk through that with you guys. You can shoot me an email, jason@cornerstone.one. You can find me on social, hit me, you know, slide into the DMs and we can connect that way. Whatever is easiest for you, whatever means of communication you find easiest. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. You can find me there. And I just want to help pastors find the plan that God has for them and to find that, you know, if you're in a season where you're wondering, am I going to be used again? Or you know somebody that is, man, connect them with me. I would love to help them walk through this season with grace and with mercy and with power.
So. Yeah. And man, tell them about this webcast. They can hear some things that'll probably put some hope in their heart. And then they're going to want to email him and talk to him. Jason, I'm going to have you pray for everybody as we go out here in just a minute. I want to let everybody know that we're going to have a real cool webinar here in 2 weeks. We're going to be talking about bringing joy to every single heart in our relational circle during the holidays, being on a mission of joy. We're going to be on one in our church. The angel announced to the shepherds, I bring you good news that should be for great joy for all the people. And so we're going to be concentrating on that in our church. But I'm going to have a guest with me that you're going to absolutely love. They're so good at doing that. And we need to make sure as we go into the holidays that both in our church, but man, in our home, that it's our mission to bring great joy to heart. So we're going to talk about ministering to the hearts of those we love the most during the holiday season. And again, I just want to thank everybody for being on the call today. I want to pray for you. Father, I just pray blessing, peace, favor. Lord, I pray for the work the Holy Spirit does so well, whatever it is. If somebody needs their heart healed and mended, God, you're capable of that. God, if somebody needs fresh vision and hope poured in their heart, God, you're so capable of that. If somebody needs strength to endure in this time that they're in, God, you're so capable of that. And Father, as I pray, I just pray you'll do a greater work in us, like Philippians talks about, so that you who are working in us will bring forth around us the things that bring so much joy to our heart, because God, you created them for us. God, we just speak your blessing and your favor on every pastor and his family. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm not sure what happened to Jason. It was great being with you guys, and we'll look forward to being with you again in a couple of weeks. God bless you.